Hi, everyone. My name is Victor.
Hi, and I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Katya. And together, we are the Grin Marketing Team. Between the three of us, we have expertise across all of digital marketing, which includes, but isn't limited to, SEO, social media, influencer marketing, paid media, content and email marketing, just to name a few areas. And with the digital landscape changing every day, our goal is always to stay on top of the trends. And we love talking marketing. Just ask us, we'll tell you. During the recent Brands Working Remote Tracking Influencers, we interviewed Trevor and Audrey from LoomCube. We chatted about their success in influencer marketing space, how they got started with influencer marketing to begin with, and then at what point they realized that they needed a solution beyond the spreadsheets, how they evolved their program, how they structured their program, and of course, how Grin fits into all of that.
Yeah, we were really, really excited about the turnout. Had over 500 people register to see it. And we definitely discussed some pretty valuable information about influencer marketing. And to just kind of like dive into a few highlights, one of the questions that I felt was pretty prominent that came during the webinar was, when LoomCube is sending products to their influencers, how are they educating them on the product, and how are they making sure to get the right content that they need without stifling the influencer's creativity? And I really appreciated Trevor's response on that. And I know, Katya, you had some ideas on that as well.
Yeah, what I had picked up on was that they really do just educate their influencers on the product itself, and they don't necessarily direct them. And I think that the key for them, or the reason why they don't have to direct their influencers as much, is because in the selection process of identifying the influencers that work for them, they really try to align with people who align with their LoomCube lifestyle. I think that I said, you know, it's the people who walk the walk and talk the talk of LoomCube that are the best fit, who just need to know about the product and then can easily, you know, use it and execute content for them. And I think because of that, they get some really authentic content without having to tell them what to post or what angle to use or what product to use.
Right. And that also kind of fed into the compensation leg of it as well, right? They didn't feel like they had to pay their influencers as much because they did have influencers that use their products. So product payment worked for them.
Yeah, and I think that it's really interesting regarding product payment too, is they gift to begin with their influencers because of the direction that they want to take their program, right? The only way that you can really get someone who's going to walk the walk and talk the talk is if they experience your brand from a perspective that's not like, okay, I'm going to give you this and post this picture. So I mean, they're lucky in the sense that they have a product that they can gift, but they did have some just kind of interesting takes on, you know, if you don't have a product, what else can you do? And I think that Audrey had mentioned something like that during the Q&A that happened afterwards, just because you don't have a particular product that you can gift, let's say you're a service, you just have to get a little bit more creative, right? Like maybe it's more about the experience that you want people to be able to share. What did you think, Victor?
I think going back to what you were saying about authenticity and being authentic to a brand, I think that's really what's highlighted. And you know, to that point, I really, really loved this idea of segmenting out their influencers based on where they found their strength. So for example, I think Audrey was mentioning how they might have an influencer that they immediately set on Instagram, but they might be a little bit better on YouTube. They might be having better conversions via YouTube. And so they'll bucket them there as opposed to like just having them stick with something that isn't working, which I think goes back to their success. They see, oh, you can't just keep someone in one single space just because that space overall is supposed to do better. Like you have to really learn your influencers and allow them to not stifle their creativity wherever their creativity may lie. So yeah, I think that all of that together just creates like this amazing program, right? Like we've seen with LoomCube.
It kind of feeds into that definition of success, mm-hmm. where I think that everybody else gets very I don't know, attached to a dollar amount for ROI or measuring success. Their view of success is very open to, it's very open, and it is definitely different. And I think that that has lended to their success, right? For them, the success is, okay, I gave my product to someone and they posted something. And right. Of course, I mean, they want a return on investment that is, you know, revenue generating, but thinking of their brand first has fed into that ultimate goal of increased revenue.
And you know what's funny is that actually fits right in with what Audrey was saying. When they are looking for influencers, originally they were looking for following, and then when they really started to understand their program, they were no longer looking for influencers with the biggest following. They were looking for influencers with engagement and the right content and the right fit.
Yeah.
I really love that too.
Absolutely.
Well, and one of the other really cool things that was asked of them at the very end in the Q&A was, did they have more success with long-term influencers or kind of those influencers they use for one big campaign? And Audrey shed a lot of insight on that and how those long-term influencers really drove their program.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it speaks to what Victor had mentioned in regards to them segmenting their influencers, right? Like they segment by platform and then also by product. I think that it just kind of speaks into that.
There were a lot of questions about ROI. There were a lot of questions about long-term influencer relationship versus short-term and how to measure success. And I really think that LoomCube is a great example. And in the webinar, we did discuss quite a bit of like how to evaluate ROI and how to establish those long-term influencer relationships.
I think what's interesting is when we talk about relationships, especially in the influencer space, I almost feel like the word itself is now super saturated, because I think one of the things that's lost out of influencer marketing is the relationship piece. And I think a lot of people forget that it is really building a relationship. And I'm really happy that we try to drive the point home that you need to build relationships, you need to foster them, you need to sustain them, you need to maintain them, because it goes beyond just being an influencer, you know what I mean? I think that one of the things that I always stress is, you know, you are a person and you're marketing to people, regardless of if you're B2B or direct to consumer or B2C, you're still marketing to an actual person. When it comes to influencer marketing, yes, they are influencers. They're also going to be your biggest champions. And the way that they're going to do that is by you having an authentic relationship with them, not only choosing ones that are going to be your spokesperson and really understand the DNA of your brand, but ones who can genuinely speak to your brand. Because as we've seen before, when certain influencers don't align with certain brands, everyone can see that it's not real and it's inauthentic, and then nothing happens. And now that influencer has their reputation and credibility kind of go down. And then that brand is also looked at as being not credible, because they're like, well, clearly you're just pushing product. Authenticity. That's the whole point I'm trying to make.
And you know what? It's authenticity versus transactional, because I think that the people who post, you know, hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored, you know, who are just posting from like seven different brands because they have identified themselves as influencers, it's really tough to like go into their feed and buy into it. I think that in general, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I know that for myself, I don't want to feel like I'm being advertised to. I like that I don't notice it, you know? I like that, you know, using the LoomCube example, that someone is really well lit, you know, during the webinar. You know, some people noticed that we all had that LoomCube light on, but mine went off in the middle of it. And I'll be honest, like that was probably the most authentic content that you could possibly get. There was a difference between what I look like in comparison to someone that was really well lit. And as cornball as that sounds to say, like, oh, that's content, that's user generated content right there. I used it in comparison to that. And I think that, you know, as consumers, that's all we really want. I mean, as a brand, you're going to tell me the best thing about you, but as an influencer, creator, brand ambassador, whatever it is that you want to call yourself, you're going to tell me the truth. Like, okay, they say it does this, but does it really do that? And what do you think? What has been your experience? And I think that that's what it comes down to. Like, and LoomCube has done such a great job at finding those people that are talking their brand and living that lifestyle.
100%. I think that's why they've found so much success in their program. And I'm the same as you. I don't want to be sold to. And when I go through my social media, that's a personal place for me. And if somebody's wearing something and I absolutely adore the way that it looks on that person, but it looks like something that they would wear because it fits with their personality, I gravitate toward that. Whereas if I see, you know, somebody that's holding up a product that doesn't really look like something that they use, I am less inclined to want that. I think authenticity and that brand trust is huge when we're talking about getting into people's social media feeds, because it is a personal space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it was a really awesome, awesome turnout for that webinar. And I feel like LoomCube had so much good stuff to say and more than we could probably discuss in one podcast.
Yeah.
So people should listen to it. Listen to LoomCube and watch the others.
So the next one we've got coming up is Grin and Organifi, right?
Yes, yeah. Grin and Organifi. So we'll be talking to the influencer marketing experts at Organifi, just kind of about what their story is as well. So super excited about getting that one underway for sure.
Yeah. And they've got some interesting stuff coming up in that one. When we talked to them prior, they actually switched platforms and had to do a lot of influencer cleanup and then were able to ramp up their program, and they ramped up fast, right?
Yeah, they did. And I think it's interesting because that's also the LoomCube story as well. Once you make the pivot and decide, okay, influencer marketing, we're going to do this, and you have a platform in place to help you execute that workflow to build those relationships, it doesn't take long to ramp up your program and just continuously improve on it. And both LoomCube and Organifi have that same story as well.
Everyone should go check out the webinar that we had with LoomCube.
So thanks for hanging with us. Head over to our website, grin.co, and be sure to register for our next fireside chat with Organifi. There's going to be more great conversation about all things influencer marketing. It's happening May 7th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Standard Time.
Be there or be square.
So make sure you sign up for that. Don't want to miss it. And then be sure to check back here next week. We're going to be discussing the wonderful world of influencer marketing. It's going to be kind of discussing what influencer marketing is and all the great things about influencer marketing. So be sure to check this out. Until next time.
Bye.